Well, we got a lot to talk about from yesterday's meeting. Once again, Nate, I guess the one thing yesterday was, we can talk about first, the water situation. I know we sent out a release yesterday, and boy, a lot of folks using a lot of water. Those lawns are getting yellow instead of green, aren't they?
Yeah, we got the double whammy going. We've got hot temperatures and a lot of wind, and so that's a bad combination to have, especially this early in the year. Jesse's department, the utility department, they issued a statement yesterday morning, basically just asking the water customers in McCook to do their best to try to conserve water. And in particular, he was focusing on the time between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., asking people to try not to water if they can avoid watering during that time. His hope is to try to replenish the vessels so that way when the next wave comes, you know, later on that day or in the early morning, we've got water there to make sure that we're able to go ahead and accommodate everybody. So at least for the immediate future, we're asking, and it's a voluntary basis. This isn't mandatory. He actually went through the ordinance and kind of talked about the different water levels and use levels and when restrictions start coming in. And we're not at a mandatory restriction phase. But also last night, he stressed that we're seeing these kind of use numbers that we typically don't see until July or August. And so that's a little concerning. Obviously, we want to do our best to try to preserve the equipment. You know, the more water that gets used, the harder that equipment has to work. And that's the concern, is making sure that we're able to keep the water supply, you know, at a valid level. So for the time being, if people can kind of watch their water use, in particular between the hours of 10 and 6 p.m., that'd be great. And then we will hopefully be able to get to this weekend, and maybe we get some rain and maybe some cooler temperatures and get out of this funk. I think that we're all getting sick of the wind and the heat. So.
Big time.
Yeah, it's dried everything out pretty quickly.
Yep, it needs to happen. Yep. So, because Regina and I were talking before the show that a few minutes ago that, you know, we hope June and July just flip the weather, because July usually is we have temperatures mid-90s to 100, and June's 10 to 15 degrees above normal.
It's just way too early for this. I think that probably we're all kind of having, and I don't even want to say the year 2012, but I think back to the summer of 2012 and the lack of rain and the heat wave that we had. I remember the 4th of July holiday being very difficult because we were concerned about lighting off fireworks and making sure that we had enough fire protection and encourage people to have, you know, buckets of water on hand and things like that, their hoses ready, just so that way they could douse out fires if need be. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I hope that we get some rain. And the last few years, it seems like we've had timely rains. Hopefully this year will not be an exception to what we've experienced the last few years.
Keep doing those rain dances, man.
Yeah. Jesse said do a lot of rain dances. I think that we all probably need to do it in unison.
Exactly. To the agenda from last night, anything on citizens' comments first?
Yeah, we had one person come to the council. Dale Doolin came and basically had two items he wanted to talk about. Number one is he basically encouraged the council or the city staff to do as many meetings electronically as possible. He really appreciated the Zoom meetings and thought that was a great way for the public to become informed of what was going on in the city. And so he encouraged us to do as much as we can. And the other thing is he asked us to be transparent on our swimming pool project. He had some questions and concerns about the swimming pool project, et cetera, and just asked that we be transparent with the public.
So is there any chance after you gathered as a – did you gather as a whole last night?
The council, yeah. We got together as a whole last night. That was the first time since the first meeting in March, the first Monday in March.
Could you, even as a whole, still – broadcast that or Zoom or something like that, so folks
we'd have to look into that. You know, I don't know what other communities are doing. You know, I know when I became city attorney, I believe it was the city attorney, maybe a couple city attorneys prior to me, I know that they had said, you know, probably not a good idea to broadcast. But I don't know, you know, the reasoning behind that. It's probably something that we could do, or we could do some sort of a tape delay or something like that.
Right.
You know, you put it on your Facebook page or whatever. Things are a lot easier to get out to the public. I know that you used to see JPEG channels, you know, that were utilized for broadcasting that. And I don't know how much of that's done anymore. But there may be some other avenues that we could take that might be able to be utilized. So we'll have to look at that. And that's something we can talk to the council about, see what their thoughts are on that. I don't know, you know, as far as other towns, other communities, how they go about doing that. So
I couldn't tell you that.
I don't know.
Doesn't Kearney broadcast their council meetings?
Yeah, I don't know. They very well may.
I think there's some.
Like on a cable, one of the local cables,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
I think that they're, I know that Lincoln used to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that probably there's some other communities that do similar things to that. So, yeah, it's something we could definitely take a look at and see what we can do.
All right. Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
Just a few. First, Jesse had his announcement regarding the voluntary water, I'm not going to say restrictions, the request to try to make sure that usage is down is probably the best way to term it, because, you know, we don't want to make this mandatory or start panicking people, but also we could use the public's help in making sure that we're able to keep up. I think yesterday he said that we were down a little bit. The day before, I think we were at 4 million gallons. And when we start getting to that 4 million gallon threshold, I know that that's kind of when Jesse's ears kind of perk up a little bit. When I say 4 million gallons, I mean for the day. I think that he said that we were pumping about 1,000 gallons over what we typically do per minute there for a period of time over the course of the weekend. And so that's fairly high use for this time of the year, and something we want to make sure that we're keeping a close eye on. So, you know, if people could just kind of watch when they water and try to do it, you know, early in the morning, that would probably be the best time to do it. That would give us a chance then, starting later in the morning and then throughout the afternoon, to replenish the vessel, so that way we're ready for the next go-around that following evening. So, and then also we had an announcement. We're going to have a special meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m., and it's going to be fairly short. Could be very, I guess I shouldn't say that. You never know. But we only have two agenda items on the special meeting. We've got a HHS agreement for the senior center that is dealing with transit and food that we have to do on a yearly basis. We just got it in the mail, I think on Thursday or Friday, Beth said, so we didn't have time to get it in the packet. But we want to have it done by the end of this month. And then also, we've got a similar to what we were doing with the ballparks. We've got a resolution that we've been working on, not dissimilar from the ballpark resolution and the use agreement that we had with the teams and the individuals that were going to be utilizing the ballparks. We kind of want to focus on the auditorium. That'd be for individuals that are using the auditorium for a wedding or for a dance recital or whatever the case may be. And it just offers that protection to the city. Nobody really knows exactly what liability will look like with COVID-19. You know, you talk to all the experts and they're not sure. But they are encouraging cities to do their best to try to make sure that they decrease the amount of liability they may be facing by placing the burden over on the individuals that are using the facility and getting indemnifications from those users, basically saying, you know, if something were to happen, we'll go ahead and we'll indemnify you from any of the potential consequences that might come as a result. So that will be tomorrow, Wednesday, 10 a.m. at the council chambers, and that'll be open to the public. And then also just an update on the library. Last week, we were shooting for a June 15th target date for opening up the library. We had some equipment and parts that didn't get in until late. We actually just got them in here at the end of last week or the middle part of last week. So we got a chance to meet with Mark Griffin and James Marshall on Friday. And we think that we're going to be able to start getting air conditioning into the library this week, so we think that there will be air conditioning. Our hope is to have everything finalized and have all the zones working by June 29th. So we had to move our target date from June 15th to June 29th just to make sure that we had everything up and running. And Jody last week talked about some of the restrictions that she was wanting to put on the library, but we do want to get it opened up so that way people can come in and use it. At the same time, it gets really, really hot without any air conditioning in there. And we actually last week talked to Jody. We installed the air conditioning units, those mobile air conditioning units, so that way there'd be a little bit of cool air in the facility. But it's not perfect, you know, and we need to get that HVAC system, the cooler, going, so that way we get that library so it's a comfortable temperature, not a sweltering whatever degrees it is outside. Unfortunately, whatever it is outside, I think it's like that inside. Yeah. It's just not a good situation for the employees or for the patrons to be in.
Anything else as far as announcements, recognitions?
I did skip over. Jesse also wanted to say thanks to Steve Line, and I would be remiss not to mention this. Steve's Electric, Steve Line, they've worked with the city of McCook for years and years. They actually were working on the BFD yesterday. Steve has told us that he's going to be retiring, and Jesse said, you know, we're really going to miss him over there. He was in on the ground level at the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant. And I know Jesse and the guys over in the utility department have a really good working relationship with Steve. And we're excited to go ahead and start working with Adam Johnson and Scott Bohm. They're going to kind of take over doing the contracting work for us. But at the same time, it's always, you know, difficult to say goodbye to those friends that we've met over the years. And Steve not only has served in that capacity, I know he was on our building committee. You know, he's just a great resource and a good guy to work with. So we wish him a happy retirement, and we're looking forward to working with Adam and Scott.
All right. Consent agenda, and boy, a lot of liquor licenses. You can tell that restrictions being lifted because there's weddings or events and liquor licenses going out.
I think what I counted up is there are like 5 weddings.
Yeah.
Must be a time to get married, huh?
Yeah. Yep. So I take it all those pretty much approved?
Yeah. The one thing I want to talk about is Garrett Wagner has been spearheading. It's going to be coming this coming Friday night from 6 o'clock till 8:30. It's the 4th annual Cruising the Bricks Cruise Night and Car Show. And so Garrett simply just asked us to shut off some streets and cover up some stop signs. And so if you need information, get a hold of Garrett Wagner at Ford, Wagner Ford, and he can tell you. And I appreciate what Garrett's done.
And that is this Friday or is
July Friday. July 10th.
Right? I think that sounds right. I think that's crazy.
Not Friday. You're right.
It's coming up, but it's coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Yeah, I'm sifting through my reports here.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Away. 3 weeks. Something like that. Yeah, July 10th. Always a great event, and it's associated with Crazy Days, and that's big. That's big right there.
Yeah, it is July 10th.
It is my fault.
From 6:30 to 8:30, and then July 11th from 6 a.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Just closing off a couple of streets, and everybody get a chance to get those fancy cars out, classic cars out, and showcase them. And they always have some great contests, stuff like that. So that's a go for Friday,
yes.
July 10th then. All right. Anything else with the consent agenda? Anything else of interest?
Nothing that was pulled. Okay. I think that it was lengthy, but a lot of it was pretty mundane.
Regular agenda. We'll get receiving a file discussion regarding COVID-19 updates after the governor had his announcements yesterday with phase 3. How does that come across?
Well, we can't keep up with the governor. he's moving faster than we can move. So actually, it's funny because when we were working on the agreements for the ballparks, I think we worked that Friday. It was the Memorial Day weekend. And so Nate and Kyle and I were working on those agreements that Friday. And then on the 23rd, we were getting texts back and forth from Nathaniel about the agreements. The 24th, we get in and we looked at the new DHMs and we thought everything that we did just is all for naught. We kind of had a similar moment yesterday because we were working on the agreements for tomorrow's council meeting. And those DHMs came in for June 22nd. They're there to become effective on June 22nd. And so we ended up having to revise the agreements to try to make sure we match the DHMs that are going to come into effect on June 22nd. But It does change things, it should hopefully make things a little bit better. There are some things that I have questions about. The June 22nd DHM that was released yesterday doesn't specifically really have a lot of information regarding wedding events, and that was one of the big issues and questions that we've had, mm-hmm. you know, as far as capacity for weddings, because right now, if I remember right, I think it's at 50%. There's a 6-foot requirement, parties of six. There's no buffet line. There's no dancing. Come June 22nd, they didn't really say anything regarding capacity. That's one of the things that we're going to have to get some clarification on. But it sounds like there may be the possibility or the opportunity for more mobility inside of the facility. So you know, whether it's dancing or whatever, I know listening to Governor Ricketts, because I caught just a tidbit. I don't know. Gene might have heard more of it than I did. I just got a tidbit of Governor Ricketts' press conference yesterday, and he said that they were treating dances at a wedding reception differently than they were treating street dances, because wedding receptions, you can actually trace people off the guest list, whereas a street dance, it's really hard to do so. So they felt more comfortable maybe easing the restrictions in that way. So we've got to get a few more answers, and a little bit more clarification. But I know that, like, as far as outdoor venues, they're going to be increasing, the capacity. And if I remember correctly, I think they're going to go up an additional 25%.
Right.
Yeah. And, I know with ballparks, they're going to start allowing, people outside of the family mm-hmm. to attend, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a hard thing, and I didn't know exactly how to answer those questions, you know, because it was specific. And Governor Ricketts actually said during his press conference yesterday, you know, what Nathaniel Mustin, our city attorney, said a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they're DHMs, and they look like guidelines, but they're actually the law, and they're enforceable by misdemeanor. And nobody wants to go up and arrest, you know, an extended family member because they weren't living in the right. house. Not that I thought that would ever happen,
right.
But, now we don't have to worry about that come June 22nd. I know Gene's got the sheet in front of him as far as outdoor gatherings and capacity for ball games. I think that it's, outdoor gatherings will be limited to 75% of rated occupancy, not to exceed 10,000. And then indoor gatherings will be limited to 50% of rated occupancy, not to exceed 10,000. So it's gone from 50% up to 75% for outdoor gatherings, which would be a ballpark. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, and I'm not even sure what the capacity is over like at JC Complex or Felling Field.
I don't either.
I'm going to have to probably rely on people that are smarter with math than me when trying to figure that up. But
one big thing is, I got a conversation with Billy Davidson here at Open Line we'll talk more about, because they just set the rules on their page, and now this came out, said. Are people going to be able to sit in the stands now? Because before it was going to be, you're going to have to stand behind
And it doesn't say anything specific to that. So that's a question I don't know the answer
or
to.
Or the social distancing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sit with your family,
right.
But do you have to separate 6 or 8 feet? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. There's probably some more detail that needs to come out, and I'm sure that probably we'll get a little bit more detail from the governor in the next few days.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just doing our best to try to comply as best we can. I do know he also mentioned a fourth phase, which he thinks will come in July, where the DHMs will no longer be the law.
Phase four.
Yeah, phase four. They would actually be, it sounds like, more in the line of a suggestion or a recommendation,
right?
But not enforceable by a criminal penalty. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, you know, and I'm sure that probably it depends on where you live, and I would assume that probably you'll start seeing, and I don't know for sure if they'll start looking at this maybe in a regional. I'll be curious to see what happens with schools. Mm-hmm. You know, will schools be treated differently, you know, based upon where they're at and the numbers that they're seeing in each of the jurisdictions or health districts? I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but I think you're starting to see a real concerted effort to try to open some things up and get things a little bit more normalized. Still not perfect, and I can understand why there's still some reservation, but we're getting closer.
I think going back to what you said just a few minutes earlier, I think a lot of folks – think this, a lot of these decisions were local decisions. No, this is not on you.
Yeah.
This is from the governor's office. I'm sure your phones rang off the hook.
Yeah.
Left and right on parks and everything. It's like, this is not us doing this. It is the state doing this.
Yeah.
You've got to remember that.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that people struggle with. And then also, I mean, even if it's not a rule, a lot of times we get suggestions. So I know we've talked about the swimming pool ad nauseum, but honestly, we were getting information from the governor's office basically saying don't open up your pools until July 15th. Mm-hmm. But these DHMs, and we hadn't really experienced the DHM process. They've changed so fast. Yeah. That even when you are, I mean, we're in the minute working on things, and then all of a sudden a new DHM comes out, and we're having to change what we're doing. So it's been very, very difficult. I know that our city attorney probably is, I don't even want to see what our attorney bill is going to be for this upcoming month, but I know he's been extremely busy trying to keep up with stuff. And I'm glad that we're easing restrictions, you know, and it sounds to me like the right people, you know, at the HHS level are making the decisions based upon good science. So that's what you want. But we don't have the ability to make those kinds of decisions, nor do we have the authority to go ahead and create directed health measures. If you look at the statute, that's within the auspices of either Health and Human Services and the governor, or through the health departments. Now, and those are the only entities that have the authority to do so. And as far as this current situation we're in right now with COVID-19, it's coming from the governor's office. So we're doing the same thing that everybody else is. Mm-hmm. We're kind of watching the news and trying to keep up with the press conferences and making sure that we're following things the way we're supposed to, because we want to make sure that people don't get into trouble, you know. And so a lot of what we've done has been to try to educate and inform and make sure that people are following along with what the law is, not the guideline, the law. So
more to come. Stay tuned.
Yes.
Receive and file discussion regarding the timeline for the 2020-21 budget schedule. Here we go.
Our budget is due September the 20th to the state. And so Nate talked about last night how many meetings we thought the council would be comfortable with. And we basically came up, I think we will have a retreat and then we'll have two readings of our budget. It's going to be a very basic, bare-bone budget this year. Mm-hmm. Because of the loss of receipts, obviously. So,
are you stunned that they didn't give you more time or maybe push that date back? Or?
Well, it's by statute, it's set at September 20th, okay. And I doubt very much they're going to make a change. You know, we need to get our budget done. We need to know exactly what our guidelines are going to be for the upcoming year. It's going to be kind of our best guess. Mm-hmm. You know, so this budget season was really weird because you have to have it in by September 20th. September 20th is a Sunday, so it's actually the 21st, which is a Monday, which limits our timeline. Usually we have two meetings in September to actually have the budget read and heard and the council can kind of mull over and finalize. This year we don't have that same luxury. There's only one Monday in September prior to September 20th, and that's actually a Labor Day, so it's Tuesday the 8th. So that would be the only council meeting that we'd have available to us before September 20th. And so what we talked about was, well, do you want to do some special meetings? Do we want to stick with the regular schedule? Because what it would have meant would have been that we would have had our last meeting on the 8th of September. We would have had a meeting on the 17th of August, which would have been the third Monday. And we would have had a meeting on the third Monday, or the on August 3rd, which would have been the first Monday, which would have meant that we would have had to have our budget retreat if we were doing it like we typically do at the end of July. But we still don't have a lot of the information that we need. We're still trying to figure out sales tax numbers. You know, I know the most recent sales tax numbers say we're 13% down. That was for March. We don't know what April is going to say. You know, our hotel occupation tax, we're getting some strange numbers coming in from the hotels. We are getting Keno information. You know, and I told the council last night, usually for the year, you know, we receive about $100,000 off of the Keno franchise agreement we have. So $10,000 a month. For the month of April, we received $189. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're starting to talk about some serious budgetary concerns. MPPD's use is down across the state. Gas tax is going to be down. And so we just need to really think about this and figure out exactly what good numbers are. Mm-hmm. It's going to be totally different than what we've done in years before, and it may be, you know, this way for a period of time. And what I told the council last night was I'm going to have the department heads continue to provide capital outlay requests, but there probably won't be very many capital outlay requests in the actual budget for the council to decide upon. We've got some obligations. We need to pay the state, you know, for our portion of the Highway 6 and 34 and Highway 83 projects. We've got some capital equipment we've purchased through finance, and so we need to make sure we pay on those, like the ambulance, for example. We've got some safety equipment, fire safety equipment, that we'll need to make sure that we turn out on a yearly basis. That's going to have to be in there. But aside from that, there's probably not going to be a lot of capital in this year's budget, which is kind of similar. We not that long ago, we were dealing with the same issue when we were trying to pay off the building. So we're kind of used to being in that position. It's just never a fun position mm-hmm. to be in. So I think we're talking about maybe having, I think we're talking about maybe on the 17th, kind of going through the budget with the council, maybe having our department heads talk about a brief synopsis of their year, but not talk about the capital per se, and then go into the first reading of the budget that night, and then on September 8th, then pass it on that second reading under suspension of the rules. Most communities actually only read their budget and suspend it. But what I told the council was we'll continue to update them. So like on that August 3rd meeting, you know, usually when we'd be having our first meeting. Or somewhere around that time, you know, we'll talk about budget items. We'll just have a discussion item on there about the budget. So when Leanne and I start getting those numbers in and start feeling more comfortable with penciling in maybe more final type numbers, we can go to the council and say, hey, this is where we think we're going to be as best we can guess. It's not going to be a perfect. I mean, it's all over. I think that we're all kind of in the same boat. A couple weeks ago, I was just talking to Grant Norgaard. And I asked him if he was thinking about the budget. He goes, "I'm thinking about it right now," but kind of in the same boat. We're all kind of like, "What do we do?" But I mean, everybody's in the same boat too. The businesses, area businesses, you know, we're all trying to figure out what this means for us long term. You know, and you know, this may not just be a 1 year thing. It may be a multiple year thing. Yep. And so we have to look at it, you know, as okay, how do we make sure that we have enough to operate for this year? And then also maybe think about that following year as well, too, a little bit.
All right. Next up, you have some ordinances. Any discussion on some of these ordinances coming up here?
Rich, this ordinance basically defines what a dangerous or potentially dangerous dog is and makes it unlawful to own one. But as our city attorney was going through and writing up, I think, a citation, yep. He found out that owning a dangerous or potentially dangerous dog is not unlawful. So we just had to add this to that ordinance that owning a dangerous or potentially dangerous dog is unlawful and now is subject to punishment.
Have there been any issues lately with the dogs around here?
I think Nathaniel's had one.
He said that he had one here recently. Really? I think we passed this ordinance probably 2 or 3 months ago.
Okay.
And
what year was it? We had one.
Oh, wait, a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. It got a hand a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think, and this actually follows the state statute. So I think we all felt pretty comfortable with the language in this. I think that's the question that he had to ask himself was, okay, so now if I have to prove that the person owned it, there better be some language in there that says that ownership is actually, you know, punishable if you've got a dog that's been a bad dog, a vicious uh-huh. dog. So I appreciated the fact that he brought that back to us. He just said, hey, you know, I can't make this workable unless I add this one section. And I appreciate the council passing that under suspension of the rules so that way he can move forward with those kinds of prosecutions.
Anything else with that hold at the whole last 4B, C?
Yeah, that's
or 4C deal with that right. one.
Yeah, he just inserted the one clause. Gotcha.
Okay. Were the council comments anything there from last night?
I got to go back and look at my sheet. Let's see. Jared wanted to thank the Public Works Department for the brush collection after the windstorm on Tuesday, and it's continued since then. So it's probably been a number of days. And then also he had mentioned on the pool, you know, wants to make sure that we've got a plan going forward. Mike also had mentioned the brush collection and thanked the people that were working on cleaning up the city streets and right-of-ways and sidewalks. He also mentioned that it was nice to see everybody in person. That was the first time that we had an in-person council meeting since that first week in March. Mm-hmm. It was nice to get a chance to see everybody. I don't know if I've seen, I guess probably here at the or at the radio station, yeah. I've probably seen everybody. But aside from that, you know, I'm used to seeing them on a more regular basis hadn't seen them for a while. And then also Mike had just mentioned, you know, the COVID-19 updates. You know, it's hard to kind of keep up with, but continue to kind of watch those, and we'll continue to work on those as best we can at the city. There's just a lot of things to – a lot of action right now.
I don't think phase four is coming anytime soon.
No, he said July. He said look for it in July. Yeah. So,
but, of course, it's –